I think in a sense it's good, you know, I look back on it, you know, that, you know, the values were given to you, you know, so that, you know, there won't be any chaos, I think, you know. But then too, you know, authoritarian type of thing like that, you know, you have no freedom either, you know, you're restricted, you know, you're regimented. In that sense it's bad. You couldn't question authority like my father, you know, if he said something, you know, or the teacher said something, there's no questioning to it. You couldn't question their veracity or that would be dishonor for you, you know.
Did people ever question him? Like in a classroom? Or people more scared to?
Well, it was strictly rote learning, I think, you know, because we had to learn that kanji. And, you know, the stories, you know, and the essay, you know, we have to read, and, you know, or if you had a speech to do, you had to, you didn't know why. You did it. I mean, in that sense, you lose something, you know, because it doesn't give you the ability to think on your own, you know, to question, you know. That's why very few the term islands are. Aggressive intellectually, I don't think, you know, they're more formal. And this is my observation, you know, they always are clannish, you know, and because of that, you know, the enclave society they came from, a small village type thing, you know, they're just like, okay. And if you did one wrong, you know, the whole group would look at it, you know, and if you were a little different, you know, you might get ostracized. You had a some kind of you had to do what the group did, you know.
Right.
And it's a more group talk than anything else.
That was very important, you know.
Yeah.
Especially
in your mind. Yeah, you had to more or less go along with the group. You couldn't, if the group leader was a strong type of a person, and yet the older guy always used to tell the younger guy, you know, younger guy, no matter how more, much more maybe intelligent he was, you know, he was overruled by age, you know. You couldn't question that, you know, then you could, Nike, or, you know, and, you know, you got kind of stumped or something.
I would think that your parents wanted you to learn Nihongo.
Yeah.
And they wanted you to do good in American school.
Yeah.
Did they emphasize any other things, like you mentioned judo? Did you want to do that yourself?
Nah, not necessarily. I think that was part of the character training, you know, molding the character, bushi and a thing like that. Just, instilling you, you know, that. And it goes back to, I think, respect and honor and, you know how clean you are, you know. I guess they give you the training, a Yamato no spirit, huh?
How about things like, how about a little bit more on, you know, your family and your relatives, the extended family situation? Did you guys always get together with your aunts and uncles?
Yeah. My grandfather and grandmother just lived there, so I remember we always went there, and like, you know, we used to have these community baths, and we used to share the same bath house, you know, the foothold, you know. So I remember every evening, you know, we fire up that bath, you know, with a takigiri, you know, and that chop wood, and we fire, you know, with a paper starch, with paper maybe, and fire starch. And, you know, in that sense, you know, in the evening after the dinner, we always had to go, before we go to bed, you know, it was a crime to be dirty, you know, go to bed, you know. Every one of us, first we had to take the hot water, rinse ourselves, you know, and soap ourselves, and then throw another hot water on, and then after you're completely washed, then you submerge yourself in that futo, you know. And every evening, you know, I used to remember taking baths with my grandmother and grandfather, and, you know, I guess my mom and dad used to take it later. I mean, most of the time, I remember taking baths with my grandmother and then
did your family, you know, your grandparents and all the children, did you guys have, you know, what's called family system, or the oldest son was the, you know, the oldest son was sort of like next in line to the family, the Sharma family, and the second son was the third son.
Yeah,
and the sisters would sort of go out and marry
into
the other family.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys?
Yeah, you know, well, I remember. Well, it never did get carried out because of that war. You know, disrupted everything. You know, and, but I remember. You know, before the war, you know, it used to be torn on with the most important. You know, the first in line. You want to take over that family and the business. You know, and naturally. Like, I was the chosen one of my family, you know, although my sister was older than I was, but he used to always say, you chosen one, so, you know, take over that when I leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That you're the next in line, so, you know, you got to control the younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, you know, I say until camp time, you know, then my father got taken away, so naturally broke that line, you know. He was gone for about a year and a half or something. North Dakota or something.
Uh-huh.
So, actually, when he was gone, you know, I quit judo. You know, his camp, I didn't have to go. So. Although I
went. You're getting training, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You were only at the most top 15.
Yeah.
You were told that
you'd
be next
in
line.
Yeah.
How about your sister? Was she told anything about that she'll be marrying your sister?
I don't know about that, you know, because my sister was already, what, 14, 15, huh?
Yeah.
High
school age.
Ninth grade, I think, or 10.
Ninth grade.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's high school, huh? Ninth grade, so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Did you guys? Did you guys help out on the boat at all? Even when you're small yet, but...
Yeah, well, you know, when I do go fishing sometime with my dad in the summertime, you know, take me out, we have to cook, you know, wash the rice, you know. They didn't have the regular stove, because they were, you know, for rice especially, we had to chop our firewood, you know.
No rice cookers,
but... Those rice are the best. You gotta wash those rice with salt water, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, and then cook it outdoor with the char, you know, fire, you know, wood, and then charcoal to, you know, like part, you know, wood would turn into charcoal, like, and
uh-huh.
Simmer it, and then, wow, that rice is good. Lord. Maybe it's the atmosphere or something, salt air, but I think it's the way it's cooked, you know, that thick nabe, you know. Whew! I mean, I can just eat the rice alone. I can taste it right now. You know, the rice, automatic rice, don't taste good, man. You ever eat those one with the thick pots, you know?
I used to.
Yeah, sure tastes good. The koge tastes good, too. Oh, man. You know, what we had to do, you know, like on the ship, you know, like, for instance, we had to help cook, you know. Or once in a while, you know, my dad would teach me how to darn nets, you know. Most of the time when you're on the ship, you know, if you're looking for a fish, there's not much to do, you know, on the ship. But naturally, when we set net, you know, I used to pull the net, too, in those days. It was pulling type of net, you know, they didn't have too much of that power pump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. You know, nowadays, fishermen, you know, they use those power blocks, you know, the winch does all the work, you know.
Oh, right, uh-huh.
But long ago, they used to pull, you know. That's why you have to use
it. How about your brother? Do they go?
Yeah, my the only brother that went was myself and my second. Yeah. He was a little bit. I don't think Ted was going there when they were too young.
Yeah. He's mostly good. Kind of cooking. Right. Did you cook any main meals?
Oh yeah, most of the food was fresh fish, you know, we used to catch. I remember when we used to, if we can't catch fish, you know, say we don't spot any fish and then we have to look somewhere, and then we throw anchor in those, one of those islands like Catalina or Clemente or Anacapa. So what we do is fish either off the boat or lower the boat and then go grab the abalone and lobsters and things like that, you know. And we have a looking glass, see? And right before sunset we go, so, you know, let's say maybe around maybe 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, say, you know, getting close to, you know, supper time. So what they do is we go and get the supper, you know, for the ocean, in the bay there. And you know, wow, man, one dive, my father used to bring up maybe 6 abalone at a time, you know, bring it up, fall down, and go down again. It's just, you looking, you know, at the glass, you know, and say, oh, there's some big ones over there, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you go right in there, you know, and, oh, if you see a lobster, you go after a lobster.
See, all you need is right,
huh? Yeah, all you need is right. And then we have a associate, you know, with a scoffin or, you know, all of, any of those fishes that you catch bass. And you put a line there, man, you know, you get a bite right away because you're looking at the glass and, oh, there's a fish right there, there's a good hole right there, you just drop it. And then the water's clear those days, you know, there ain't no pollution those days, you know, well, you can see, what, how many fathoms, you know?
That's true. See, did you tell to look for it?
Yeah, and then once in a while, my dad, those guys used to have those shotguns, so we used to go shoot those mountain goats. We have a, most of the crew didn't like those muttons and things like that, goats or...
They'd rather have fish.
They'd rather have fish.
Yeah. Gee, you must say a lot of fish. Wow.
Yeah, the seafood was mostly predominantly Maine. I remember when I was a kid, I used to hate fish because I used to ask my mom, you know, for food, you know. I used to say, what are we having for dinner tonight? And she'll say, well, we're having sardine today, yakizakana, and I say, or, you know, and then napa or kabucha or daikon, you know. And I used to, every day I ask her, once in a while, you know, like my mom says, we used to raise chicken too, you know, my grandmother and you know, so we have chicken, sukiyaki. And when we had chicken, you know, usually when we kill one chicken, we have to feather it and all that, you know, defeather it. And we usually had sukiyaki one time, and one time chicken curry, and one chicken soup, making it a 3 meal or something like that. Never used to have those fried chicken, though, you know.
Yeah.
Sukiyaki or something like that. Well, once in a while, my mom would buy sukiyaki meat, and we have sukiyaki, but very seldom, man. Most of the time, we
have chicken sukiyaki.
Yeah. Meat was maybe we have meat maybe about at home, maybe about once a month, maybe. Or maybe some,
that's very rare.
Or twice a month, I don't know. I remember it was few and far in between, right? It used to be fish, you know, fish was free, you know. If my dad didn't have it, you know, your neighbor or your relative or somebody had fish, you know. You go to the wharf and they say, hey, give me a bucket of, you know, sardine or a bucket of mackerel or Spanish mackerel. Well, you know, they always give you, even tuna, you know. They give you one tuna like nothing, you know. Those days, you know, because, you know, everybody, you know, knew each other. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have to, well, you know, naturally if they asked, you know, my dad, I think, but I gave it to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, fish was plenty.
Very close community, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I remember saying, when I was a kid, I used to hate fish, you know, because I guess I kept on getting, you know, I hated daikon, napai, kocha, you know. But today, wow, you know, you can give me one of those daikon or napa kaucha dish or, you know, a fish or something. In fact, I pay money to go to the restaurant to go eat. When I go to a restaurant, I can't stand eating them. I mean, I'd rather eat at home. You know, my kids don't like fish, so. Mm-hmm. I mean, we only have fish maybe once a week if we're lucky, you know. Maybe it's once every other week, you know.
Right.
And so now it's reversed around. It's too much meat for me.
Mm-hmm. more meat, not really chicken and hamburger.
Yeah.
Gee.
It's really, changed around, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Well,
See, I can't tell you too much about girls because I was a little too young for that. I can tell you when he was a cat. Although I do, I remember used to looking at girls, you know, I was getting aware of them, you know. We used to have a clubhouse, you know. And I remember we used to have one clubhouse used to be by the Union Station there, by the Railway Express office. And like a storage area, you know, and there's a used building, you know, this abandoned. When then we used to use that for a clubhouse. we were, you know how youngsters are, you know, when a group of youngsters get together, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we used to have our own club and we used to talk about sex and things like that, too. But, you know, you weren't aware of it too much, but you had some idea, but, you know, you weren't sure what.
Yeah.
It was more investigative. I mean, just like, you remember reading a book like, Catcher in the Rye by Salinger?
Mm-hmm.
It's more of an area where you talk about it and you think about it, but you don't actually have that experience. Well, Timberland was closed, you know, remember before the war, you know, they had the war, and then the president issued a proclamation that we were excluded from there in so many hours, man.
Right, but after the camp.
After the camp, we couldn't go back there because of, there was no more home. We were all cleared, huh? There was only the Kennedys there.
Uh-huh.
You know, we came back here to Long Beach, you know. We were, you know, we didn't have no home to come to, so we had to come to that trailer court, you know. And then, a lot of women went to work in Canada. You know?
Mm-hmm. How about...
You know, even after the war, you couldn't fish if you're East Bay, you know.
Really?
Yeah. You couldn't fish until they had a permission in 1948, I think they had a permit to go fishing.
Oh, that's right. They put that fishing license.
Yeah, something like that. You know, if you were Asian, you couldn't fish, you know, like East Bay especially.
Right.
And you know, they were forbidden, even after the war, they were forbidden to, you know, make their livelihood, you know, fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then by then, when they did get the permit, you know, from Washington, I think it was 48 or 49, I think it was. You know, by then, a lot of East Bay were over the hill, you know.
Yeah. What do you think of your parents in terms of, kind of lifestyle they had?
You know, I think a lot of the fishermen had they had a rough life, you know, so to speak, but yet they had, because they had a rough life, you know, and then, but then, they had more. And Clay's was like, well, they tended to, like, for instance, they had a lot of free time, say, on a full moon, you know, like, when they're not fishing. Okay, they would drink a lot of cider, or either gamble or, drink, you know, go to, Nomiya's, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
or drink at home, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I remember, gee, my dad used to seem like, you know, every time he's full moon, he's drunk. I guess all the fishermen, you know, they're rough bunch, man. My old man was a rough boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, question, I mean, you know, he, you know, he was the boss of the, I mean, adults, can you, you know, when he said, you know, authority on the ship, you know, like,
right.
So, I mean, can you imagine a kid, you know, if you're a little slow, you know, fishermen are really fans, you know, if you're kind of slow and, you know, a mistake and, you know, make them lose a whole school fish, so So, in that line of sentence, you know, they were real rough, and they shout and scream and cut you off. And, you know, like myself, I remember, man, you know, if I was a little slow in moving, man, he'll come and kick my rear, you know, with his boots on, you know. You know, like he, I remember his favorite spot, he used to be busy this year, just scuff like a crush, I got it, or something like that, you know, it's just, wow. That means on to the pronto, boom! You just gonna sit around. If you move slow, you move fast, real quick.
Mm. How about, see. Going with, you know, the kind of values that was being taught to you, do you think most Terminal Island children who grew up in that area, in that environment, in the fishing community, very sort of closed and very tight community, did they grow up, do you think, with those values of respect for the older, certain?
Yeah, you know, even to this day, that's why Terminal Island as a group is unique, you know, because if something happens in Terminal Island, everyone knows about it, you know, and Clay, you know, and each would stand, you know, like a bond and a stick, you know, and like, for instance, one guy dies, you know, all Terminal Island they show up to, you know, the funerals, and, you know, if they have a party, you know, they all try to come, you know, I mean, you know, happy or bad times, you know, usually they support the picnic, and then got one of the biggest army, I think, you know. And the same thing with the funerals. I mean, if some member of the, you know, say clan, I mean the society or clan or whatever you want to call it, you know, they pass away, you read about it in the paper, well, they all, I mean, that's Giri, Giri Ninjo, or not Giri Ninjo, but it's like duty, yeah, Giri is duty, and yeah, Giri Ninjo, I guess. Yeah, well, it's loyalty and duty and responsibility, you know. Certain things, you do it, you know, because you're part of that society, you know. Your performance of those things are still carried on. Like, I know myself, I mean, certain, you know, I go because it's my duty to go. I have to do that performance, you know. I guess that was inbred.
You can, I guess now you can look back and say that those kind of things have been taught. Did you feel at the time, or?
Well,
were you just the kid that, you know, your parents told you to do these things?
Well, I guess they used to talk about it, you know, all the time, you know, that, you know, it's respect as well as disgrace, you know, and duty. And you know, I remember duty was emphasized all the time, you know. The duty of the first boy, the duty of this, you know.
Did you begin to feel those responsibilities?
Well, this is the reason why I think, you know, the older nieces, I think they still do that, you know, especially from Terminal Island, you know. But I noticed the younger ones, they're assimilated to some other culture and, you know, have anything to fall back on, I suppose, you know. And they live like Caucasian now, I suppose, you know. That's why, I mean, it is my duty to serve on the community center because, you know, after all, I have received my education, so, I mean, it is now my turn to serve so that others can receive the same kind of benefit I have, you know. And I think it's a good, you know, a cultural roots, you know, that if you teach that someday you're going to have to return something, you know, I mean, in maybe some other form, you know, not as a community center leader or... But you should, if you take some, you can't be always a taker, you know. It's your duty to someday return some portion of it, you know, in return, you know, what you're taking from society. Not necessarily directly. If you take it from me, you don't have to pay me back, but you pay back your debt to society. I mean, I think in that sense, you know, the Giri Ninjo, the
duty and you know, responsibility of you know, to society, you know. Mm-hmm.
My feeling is that most of the people who live in Turner Island feel that way. Mm-hmm. That stronger sense of community, mm-hmm. stronger sense of those, I guess, Japanese values.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to someone growing up, let's say, in Little Tokyo, or
mm-hmm.
someone in the city, somewhere mm-hmm. that's a little bigger, more urban.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Turner Island, you say, speak Japanese. You know, if it's not a perfect Japanese, but they speak and they
mm-hmm.
understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Well, even today, I can go to a Japanese church, you know, like a Japanese spoken church.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand it, but I can't. I mean, I talk, you know, I can, I guess I can converse mm-hmm. Japanese, but if it's not too, intellectual in Japanese. I mean, in English it's all right, but, you know, like for instance, oh, if they start saying "sonkei" or "diso," you know, things like that, kind of a connotative values on there, you know, it's not denotative. I can't, you know, like democracy in Japanese, you know, if they say it, you know, I mean, it's vague. You understand what I mean? I get a drift of it, but I can't pin it, you know. But through context, I would understand, you know. The flow of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, most of 99%, I mean, I would say 100% of the Japanese that were living in Toronto, they understand Japanese because they, we all spoke Japanese. We played it. We didn't see, you know, use English. Actually, you had no use for English. Until you went to, say, high school or junior high school or something like that, then you had some other people that you were, you know, playing sports, something like that, you know, and then you had to talk English.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking to Turner, you always talk in Japanese anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just going back to when you first went to elementary school,
mm-hmm.
and you felt maybe a little culture shock.
Yeah.
You know, did you feel that way for any other grade, second grade, third grade, or even sixth or going to junior high school?
Well, when the war came, you know, I had to, you know, move out of town. You know, I went to Alsanar and I went to first day of school, you know, and I was the only Japanese. I mean, that's why then they had the anti feeling, you know, the Japanese fear, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, you know,
what grade were you in?
Well, I got put back 1 year in that time in first grade, huh? So,
Oh, still in 12th.
Oh, 6th grade. I just graduated 6th grade.
Just graduated.
Yeah.
You went to junior high school.
Yeah.
Actually, you went to junior high school for 7 months.
Yeah.
And the war started.
Yeah.
Was it a big shock to go to junior high school? Or was it?
Well, that junior high school isn't bad, but I mean, I'm talking about, you know, when I went to Alsanar, there was nobody there that I knew, you know,
mm-hmm.
no friends, all by myself. That was a shock, man. Then they ostracize you, you know, because you look at her, they can point you out,
uh-huh.
I have to fight my way.
You get peppered?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm still soft-hearted, you know, but I mean, I accepted it. I guess maybe it's karma, I used to say, you know, come on, you know, come on, Shiro. Yeah, what the fuck?
Did you get into very many fights, gang fights?
Oh, man, did I? Jeez. I had more fights than Carl had Liverpool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, not looking for a fight myself, but it comes to you, you know. And I used to hate to run, you know. My dad used to always ask himself, "Don't mind about coming up, you know, my hikia, you know, that old Bushido spirit that you put into you, you know. Mm-hmm. Can't lose, you know." If they really come to Turner Island, here, they teach you, you know, there's no such thing as a loss, man. You gotta win. I used to be on the team. he always talked about, you know, you gotta beat that guy, you know, this guy, you know, and then, and you know, the team competition, they wouldn't accept.